The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you very much. Let me say, first of all, take this opportunity to say thank you, church, for how well you've taken care of us, the room, the fruit basket, the staff, the rides, all those things, and we're not deserving of that, and we appreciate that very much. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, I said, what Bible colleges can you recommend today? And we're living in a changing world, and and a lot of our independent Baptist churches and colleges are changing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to say I can recommend one more today.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And it's good to be here and see firsthand the college and feel the pulse. And I just feel right at home, a kindred spirit here. Because whenever you love souls, there's a kindred spirit. Amen. And so I want to say thank you. My wife wants to say thank you also. And she wanted to let you know she apologized because she couldn't be here to stay, but she had to be with her dad at this time. And I understand that fully. And so thank you from her also. It's good to have my associate pastor here tonight, little Brother Sandy. Little Brother Sandy, stand up. He's a little man over here. Show me your Bible. Now, where'd you get that Bible? He come to church without a Bible. Amen. You know, they don't need a Bible where we come from because, you know, they say, well, the preacher is always preaching out of the Bible. And I say, well, how far out of the Bible are we preaching? So Brother Sandy's been there. He was with Brother Mickey Hollers for 21 years, faithfully serving him and over in Fort Worth, Texas. And we need someone to come alongside us. He's been with us faithfully for 7 years, and we appreciate that. He has 5 teenagers in his home. Well, one's got about 5 teenagers at one time. Let me tell you what, I don't know what to do with one. I got one 14-year-old grandson. I don't know if I'm going to survive that or not, but he has 5 teenagers. God bless him is right, amen. I've enjoyed the missionaries. I tell you, the mission conference in our church is always the highlight. And I tell you what, it's just exciting to have people come in and, you know, just share their burden and how they're fired up to get to the field where God's called them, amen. And it's been good to meet these new missionaries. And I tell you what, a lot of folks say, well, missionaries can't preach. Well, I'll tell you what, these missionaries preach this week. Amen?
Amen.
And I've been involved in Faith Promise Missions for 42 years. I've been saved 42 years. And so sometimes you get to a place of complacency.
Yeah.
And we need fired up also.
Amen.
And this has helped me this week to be among you folks, your good spirit, your good attitude. And so you've got a commitment card there. And really, I look at that commitment card, that is a ballot.
Yep.
And this week, you're going to vote. The biggest problem in our nation today is Christians are not voting in politics. They're staying home and we're getting what we're getting. And if you don't vote, you have no right to gripe. Amen. But you really have been in a business meeting this week and through Sunday. And you've got one ballot you're going to cast. And the thing about that ballot is you're going to determine from that ballot the fate of the heathen. You're going to determine whether or not someone gets saved or not. And you'd be surprised that they've already told you that $12.50 a week will support a missionary, amen?
Amen?
And so that's so very little. I mean, that's so very little when it comes down to what's the worth of a soul?
Right.
What is the worth of a soul, really? And we've done a lot of kidding and playing around this week about different things, but we really have too many gadgets and things like that. You know, the Bible says that they angered him with their inventions. It's not with the inventions, they angered him with their inventions. And we spend a lot of money on things that we really don't need. Try to impress people that don't even like us. Amen. And it's a lot of different things that we could take those things and put them in the main thing. And the main thing, and you take this Bible right here and cut it any way you want to, it's missions. God sent his son to be a missionary. Amen. And God's heart is missions. And the heart of every church should be missions. Amen. And I'm glad to see the church here as a missionary heart. And we have missionaries all the time. We've got one coming in 2 weeks at our place. Next month, we got 2 missionaries coming. And, you know, they always challenge us and thrill us and always think, what more can we do? We can give more to missions, amen, and no matter what size your church is. So I hope and pray that you take that ballot and that you put on there what God has laid upon your heart. It's not a contest. It's not saying, well, I'm going to do what they do. It's not anything about that at all. It's just simply doing what God tells you to do And if everybody, and God wants everybody involved in this, if every, we mentioned that last night, if God, every person will do what God says, let me tell you what, you'll see something. I think you go above your what the preacher said. Amen. I think you go way above that. Amen. I don't think that would hurt his feelings. Amen. Would you think it hurt his feelings? A young man who was a long-haired hippie altar boy. I've been around a long enough preacher to get too much information. Amen. I think if I stayed very much longer, I'd get in a lot of trouble. And I do that quite a bit. But anyhow, that you pray for us, pray for my wife. Thank you for that and her father. And I pray that you would also pray for our trip back. We're going to try a three-hour trip back that way tonight. And so, you know, if we don't make it, well, we'll see you in heaven. Amen. I don't know if I'm going to trust my associate to drive the truck, but it's my truck, or I drive the truck. But I have he has orders for my wife to put me in the truck and bring me home. I don't know why. But anyway, take your Bible tonight and turn to 2 Kings. We have enjoyed ourselves. We really have. It's been a short time, but it's been a good time. We enjoyed chapel day. I enjoyed being around the young people. And let me tell you what, you know, folks are changing, and I'm glad to see that there is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental, you know, Baptist church. Amen. In the South. That is God-honoring and sin-hating. Amen. Old-fashioned. It's going to stand on standards, Bible standards. We've got too much style today. Need to be getting back. God set the standards, and they're not going to change. And I like that. I like that to have that going. I see that here, and I appreciate that very much. If you found 2 Kings chapter 7, please stand tonight. The reading of God's Word, 2 Kings chapter number 7. Verse number 1 says, Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord, this saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Let me tell you what, it's not good to question God. Amen. And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? Boy, that's a good message. Why sit here until we die? You know, the world's going to hell. And so many times we just sit here until we die. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites, the king of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Now when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it. Came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well this day. It's a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. Father, we ask you tonight to bless your word. Thank you for the good spirit that we felt this week. And Father, I just plead these good people that have weathered this storm and come out to hear, I pray that you will bless them for that. And Father, I pray you'll bless their faith promise missions. They'll go far above, Father, what they expect to do and see some great and mighty things. Father, bless these missionaries as they go down the deputation of furlough road, that you'll bless them and strengthen them. And Father, help us always to be mindful there's a world that's dying and going to hell. And that's the reason why Jesus came. And Father, help us to realize we're here for a purpose, and that's to see one more soul walk down the aisle. God, help us tonight to preach. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Tonight I want to preach a message as we end this on what will it take to motivate you. What will it take to motivate you? I believe, and I've seen this over the years, that, I believe that we don't have a group of awful people. I believe that sometimes what happens is we have a group of people who have become apathetic. And I think that probably in America, the American Christian is probably one of the least motivated Christians in the world. We can go to the mission field and we can go to the Philippines and, you know, it seems like, I tell you what, you can get charged up. You've got folks there that are literally sit and listen all day long. They beg you to come into their schools. They beg you to preach to them and stay. And we saw that the time in Russia and all those things. And it seems like that, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are more motivated than the Baptists are. It seems like the Muslims are more motivated than the Baptists are tonight. Amen. I took a Webster's 1828 dictionary and looked up the word motivation. It means to move. It means to excite into action. It means to cause to act or determine. And that's what we need to do today. We need to be motivated, amen, to do the work that God has called us to do. And I wonder sometimes what it is that will take to motivate us. I wonder what it was that motivated Alexander the Great to conquer the known world by the age of 30 years of age. I wonder what it was that motivated George Washington. I wonder what it motivated that dear hero of mine, Robert E. Lee. Yes, I believe the South's going to rise again. Amen. And Robert Lee, I know what motivated him. I read his books. You know what it was? Why he fought for Virginia and the South? Because of duty. He believed in states' rights. I do too. We need to get back to states' rights. Amen. What was it that motivated Charles Spurgeon? What was it that motivated Abraham Lincoln? You realize Abraham Lincoln failed a lot more times, but he didn't quit. What was it that motivated Thomas Edison to keep on going until he saw the light? Come on. Amen. What was it that motivated Charles Manson? Terrible killer. I think sometimes what is it that motivates Barack Obama? Something motivates you. Amen. And you ask any preacher, they'll say, I just wish my people were more motivated. Amen. You ask a teacher, I just need to motivate my students. You ask a football coach, what is it that will motivate my team? You ask the choir director, what is it that will motivate our people? And we need to be motivated, amen. Our text here, these four lepers, they were motivated by the thought of starving to death in 3 verse 5. And by the way, we've got so many millions of people on food stamps. The Bible says this, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And I'm not against helping people at all if they need to be fed. But we got a lot of folks who just don't want to work. And they want somebody else to feed them. And I really believe this, if we just took those food stamps away, we might just get some folks to go to work. Yeah. Hey, man, if you figure you're going to starve to death, I've got a 14-year-old. I don't know what motivates him to eat. He's 14 years old. Hey, man, he just wants to eat. They were motivated by the thought that we do not well. Right. Verse number 9, and sometimes we have to look at that. And we need to all ask ourselves the question, am I doing well? In this area of missions, am I doing well? In this area of soul winning, am I doing well? In this area of separation, am I doing well? See, Paul said to examine ourselves to see whether or not we'd be in the faith. But we need to examine ourselves all the time. If you're any kind of businessman, you're going to evaluate on at least an annual basis how well you're doing and whether you're going to go forward or not. And we need to evaluate ourselves all the time. And I think that's what a mission conference is all about. What we've done, we've come together to examine ourselves and hear these missionaries challenge us and ask ourselves, are we doing well? Because, you know, we can get non-motivated. We can sit back in our comfortable pews, and when we have our food taken care of and our houses paid for, and we're just not motivated like we ought to, amen? What is it that will motivate us? Any preacher today that has this problem with his church, preacher, what is it will motivate my people? What is it that will get them excited? You know, you can, and most of you know this, that Baptists love food. And your biggest crowds, if you're going to have a work day, be sure you bring food. And I found this over the years that, you know, if you're going to have a work day and you're going to tell them you're going to feed at dinner time, you better get all the work you can before they eat. Because after they eat, they're going home. Amen. And so food motivates us, but you know, there ought to be something else. I want to give you two or three things, and I'll get down to the main thing here tonight. But in Luke chapter number 15, it's the story of the prodigal son. And we find out in this story, the prodigal son, It's sin's truth motivated the prodigal son to repent. And I can identify with this prodigal son because I have had a prodigal son, amen, who came back, just like this story talks about right here. And you may have a prodigal son tonight, and your son may be out, and sometimes we wish that all our kids would turn out right and do right. But the truth of the matter is, there's just a lot of our kids in our independent fundamental Baptist churches don't appreciate what they've been given, and they decide they're going out of the way of the world. But the thing about it is, we shouldn't trash them. We need to pray for them. And when my son was out there, and he did everything, he's adopted. Matter of fact, when he was doing right, he was my son. When he ran from God, he was my wife's son. Amen. But he got out there and wanted to do his thing, and by the way, he's paying the consequences for it. But the fact of the matter is, like this prodigal son right here, is that he realized that sin wasn't as fun as what he thought it was. And the truth about sin is that sin doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring happiness. Matter of fact, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, amen. And the sin doesn't tell you the end results, the pig pen. And the wages of sin is death. And sin, it'll find you out. And all sin is against God. That's why we need to preach hard against sin. Isaiah said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud about sin, amen. We need to be preaching against sin, amen. And this prodigal son one day, he out there and watered in the pig pen, and he came to himself. And that's why you need to pray for your prodigals, amen. And I was asking preachers, I was asking everybody to pray for my son. Matter of fact, when he's in Iraq, This is one prayer I'm glad I didn't get answered. But I pray, dear God, let him die serving his country than disgrace in the name of Christ. I'm glad I didn't get that answer because, see, we found out later he wasn't saved at all. Amen. He got saved later on when he came to himself. And he was in Fort Worth, Texas. And he was on the street. He called me and he said, Dad, he said that I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. All I've got is the clothes on my back. He said, can you help me? And I said this. I said, if you'll listen to me. So he'd call many times. He said, Dad, I need $100 for this. I said, son, I don't have the money for that. I'm not going to contribute to your sin. And by the way, that's hard. Right. Knowing he's out there and what he's going through and probably all those things, but God was chastening him, really. I missed it even before he got saved. But I asked Brother Joe West, an older man, I think he's 85 years old, and asked him, Dr. West, pray for my son. And it wasn't long after that, every time I got up and mentioned his name, tears came in the pulpit. I couldn't help it. I'm not a crier, but I couldn't help but cry. I think Brother West prayed that God would break my heart for my son. He came to Fort Worth, Texas with nothing but the clothes on his back. By the way, that's a mission field out there too, those folks out there under the bridge. And those folks out there that are cold tonight. Amen. They need Jesus, amen. That's just all as much as mission, anything. But I said, son, if you'll listen to me. He said, yes, sir, Dad. I said, I've got a friend in Fort Worth, Texas. Brian Fisher over there running a mission out of a church. And I called Brian. I said, Brian, my son's in Fort Worth, Texas. He's got the clothes on his back. Can you help him? I told him where he was. He said, I know exactly where he was. And he went in 5 minutes, he was there. And since he picked him up and a lot of things went on there in the mission and all that, but the fact of the matter is today that my son is leading singing for his church, there where he is, he's teaching adult Sunday school class. He's a lay preacher. Amen. Now let me tell you what, the consequences didn't go away. Right. He's still paying dearly, but he came to himself. Amen. And you say, what motivated him? What motivated him was sin's truth, motivated the prodigal son to repent. It's not what you think it is. And some of you have been out there and you know, it seemed like it's a party life, it's a good thing, but it's really not. But sin motivated the prodigal to return. In Jeremiah 20, we see where the scripture, the word of God, motivated Jeremiah to remain. Jeremiah got discouraged. And now you think about this, Jeremiah was living in a day somewhat like we're living in. He was seeing the demise of his Israel that he loved so well. And by the way, America's going down. What we need, not to complain, but we need to get on our knees and pray for this country, amen. I really believe God will still use it. We're going to be judged. But I think God will put that off if enough people will get on their knees, God's people, and begin to pray for our country. Jeremiah was discouraged. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to mention his name anymore. Amen. I'm just going to go off into the wilderness somewhere and get me a little Motel 6. Amen. And just kind of help some wayfaring folks out somewhere. But you know what? He said, I can't do it. There's a burning down in my soul. And you know what we need in our churches to motivate us? We need a burning down in our soul. It's the scripture. It's the word of God that motivated Jeremiah to stay with it. His word was in my heart. And that's why we memorize scripture. I tell you what, that the best thing you can do is read your Bible every day. And been preaching for a long time, and that's why my voice is about gone. But the most blessed time I've found in the last several years is morning devotions. Amen. To get up, and by the way, Jesus got up before daybreak. Yep. That means, young people, that's before the sun comes up. You may have never seen that. Amen. But he got up and went out to a solitary place. And by the way, you've got to get away from distractions. You've got to get away from the cell phones, and you've got to get away from the grandkids. You've got to get away from the kid. And again, I have a special place. And I found over the last several years, most of my sermons come from that morning devotion. There, sitting and reading and praying in God. And by the way, at my age, I have to get a piece of paper and a pencil, because you get a thought, God gives it to you, you better write her down. Oh, yeah. Amen, Brother Crutcher. I mean, some of the best sermons I've ever got, I've never preached because I got them in the middle of the night and I forgot them. Amen. But let me tell you what, that devotion time, everybody ought to have a devotion time, amen. Especially that morning devotion time. We ought to hide the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against God. Isaiah 6:8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And said, I, here am I, send me. God was preparing me for 8 years for the ministry, and I was getting a little bit discouraged, and I was thinking, God, I know you call me to preach. I know you want me to pastor. And I didn't play politics. You know, a lot of politics put my name in the hat and, you know, who do you know and who do you know and can you get me in that church and all those things. I just believe God knew where I was. Right, yeah. But I preached at a church and, you know, they voted, they said no. Matter of fact, there's three of us they said no to because we knew the former pastor. And that's a good reason why to say no, I guess. But I went back to where I was and I was discouraged. And I got up and read my Bible the next morning and I was in Psalms 138:8. And God just gave me exactly what I needed. He said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth thee. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God said, son, don't worry about it. I know what I want to do with you. Amen. A month later, I was pastoring that same church that said no. Amen. I'm just saying it's the word of God. Amen. And if you get discouraged, there ought to be a burning. And that's what motivated Jeremiah. Yeah. I can't quit. I've got a burning down in my soul. Amen. What is it going to take to motivate you tonight? Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It's the sweet Holy Spirit of God that motivated Philip. Remember, we talked about this in the first night about the plus one. In verse 8, it's chapter 8, verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go down to the south of the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, a desert place. And he arose and went. Who was it? It was that blessed Holy Spirit. Right. Let me tell you what. I tell you what, the best friend I have is the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you what, I rejoice every day. I thank God for him being my Father. I thank Jesus being my Savior. And I thank the Holy Spirit of God. He's such a friend. He's there to comfort us. He's there to convict us. He's there to chasten us. I tell you what, he's there, and he's the one I want to hear from when I get my sermons, amen. He's the one. He's the one that ought to motivate us to arise and go. By the way, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. And there's not a double standard there. And we ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. So many times we're running on empty. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that can motivate us, amen. I mean, you may hear some preacher, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that motivates us. Look at 1 Samuel 17. There's a sense of urgency that motivated to move David to run to the battle, a young teenager. In 1 Samuel 17:22, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren there. And verse 29, he said, is there not a cause? And I mean, he went down there and he saw all the army of Israel all cowed down and hidden. And he was wondering, what's going on here? Matter of fact, tried to use the armor of Saul, and that wasn't. But he went out in the power of God. That teenager, by the way, God can use teenagers. Amen. Jesus was 12 years old when he said, "Must I not be about my Father's business?" Amen. We've got some teenagers to rise up and work on bus routes and surrender their life and mean it and ask God to deal with their life and prepare them for a mission field. God, I believe God has a mission field for every child of God. Amen. The deaf. Amen. The homes. Sudan. The world needs to hear about Jesus. And God is going to use us. He's going to call the rocks and the stones to declare his name. But he chose us. Amen. We're a voice, as John the Baptist was a voice, crying in the wilderness. Amen. Preparing the way for Jesus. Folks, we need to lift up our voice. Amen. And David wrote, he said, "Is there not a cause?" Back when the Twin Towers were hit, people moved with urgency. And they were running in those buildings and running everywhere. And the firemen come in, the police officers. There was an urgency to save people and pull people out of the fire and all those things because they didn't want them destroyed. Let me tell you what, there's a greater urgency today. Amen. Folks are dying and going to hell. 75 deaf people die every day. Is that what you said? 75. Every day. There's more than that of the hearing. They're dying every minute of every day. Let me ask you a question. What if a house was burning down and there were people in that house and they were screaming? The house was on fire. And somebody just walked by and said, "Hey, look over there." And isn't it a shame that house is burning down and just keep on walking by? Or somebody called the fire department and they were playing 42. And they said, "Well, wait till we finish this game of 42 and we'll be there in just a minute." What would you think of your fire department? You'd be screaming. You'd be up in arms. You'd take them to court probably. But I tell you what, there's another fire that's burning. And it's the fires of hell tonight. And every soul that's not saved will spend all eternity in hell. Amen. And the sense of urgency, folks, there is an urgency. We sit back like it's not going to happen. We don't have to worry about it. And souls are dying and going to hell. That's why we must run the buses. That's why we must keep the churches open. Keep preaching the word of God. That's got to motivate us. There is an urgency out there. Matthew 9:36. The sight of sheep having no shepherd motivated Jesus to respond. And he saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. Folks say, "Preacher, I just don't have a burden. Don't have a burden for bus kids." That's because you're not out there where they are.
Oh, that's right.
Let me challenge you.
Yeah.
Just go ride some Sunday.
Yeah, right.
And I tell you, one of the joys of my early ministry in the home church was getting on a bus route. I didn't have to, I only had me, and I there wasn't that many, but gas the bus up. You know, drove the bus, had to do all that, but that's all right. But when we get in those homes and you see those kids and when you see the filth and the dirt and the grime, and I still have a picture in my mind of a goat up on a kitchen cabinet, you know, and over the cloth, they just threw their garbage in there, and those kids living in a situation like that, amen, knowing they need Jesus, amen. Go out where they are. Mine eye affected my heart. You say, "I just can't." Look, ask God to give you some money. By the way, he owns the wealth in every mind. And take a mission trip. I'm sure your preacher would take you. Amen. A group to go to the mission field. So like every teenager we took to the mission field, God did something with them. Because they got there. By the way, people are the same all over the world. They may have a different skin tone. They may speak a different language. But they're all sinners. And they all have needs just like you and I have need. And don't sit back and say, "Well, I preach, I just don't have a burden." Go to where they are. Get out of your pew. Get out of your car. Get out of your coffee shop. Go to where they are. Jesus saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. Over 7 billion people. We sit here and we've heard about his second coming thousands of times, and half the world's never heard about him coming the first time. Amen. There is an urgency. We need to be motivated by the fact Just like in a football game, they get down to the two-minute drill. If they're behind, let me tell you what, they pick it up. I mean, they start running. They get up the line of scrimmage. They go faster and faster and faster because they know the clock is running out. And it's not going to be long before the last second ticks off and the game is over. Can I tell you what? The clock is ticking in this old world. It's ticking today on America. Work, for the night cometh when no man can work. When we were in Belarus, we saw the thousands saved. We went back a few years later. We saw 45 saved. It was locked down. I mean, what we did then was, as far as the world was concerned, the gun was illegal. But we still preached the gospel where we could. But the window opened wide. The Sudan right now is open, even though there's all these situations. But when God, it's amazing, whenever the window's open, the cults get there just like that. They're there. An independent Baptist, about 10 years later, amen, kind of walk in. Because why? Because we're in our pews, playing with our gadgets, you know, having our fun, and not concerned about the world going to hell. What's going to motivate us to get up and go out? Jesus was moved with compassion. I think about the Good Samaritan, and we're a lot like those first two guys. They walked by and they looked over there and saw that man who was left half dead, and they probably said, yeah, I feel sorry for him, but I don't have time right now. I've got to get to my business. I've got to get to my church. Amen. We got choir practice, and we don't get there for choir practice. Choir director, he ain't gonna like it. Walked on by. Now that really didn't happen about the choir director. You understand that, don't you? That's not the Bible. Letting him off the hook. Next guy walks by, sees the same thing. And he walks on by. Good Samaritan. You know what they said? He had compassion. That means he put himself in that person's place. And said, what would I want if I was in that place? And he went to where he was. He didn't say, come over here, buddy. No, he went to where he was. And what we do is we evaluate. Well, I don't think that guy could give anything to our church, the way he dressed. Amen. You know, you got to catch a fish before you clean them. Amen. And you say, well, he probably won't be a tither. We just walk on by. Amen. But he went to where he was, and he poured in his own all those things, and put him on his own donkey, and he took him to the inn. He said, if he owes anything else, when I come back, I'll pay that too. By the way, this is a picture of Jesus. Amen. And aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? Where is our compassion? That's what ought to motivate us. I mean, it's not all these things, but souls. That's what ought to motivate us. Your next door neighbor, the one on the job. Amen. 2 Kings, back to our text. We'll try to bring this down here. The simple fact in these lepers, the simple fact that a job needs to be done motivated the lepers to remember others have needs also. Amen? They were motivated, first of all, when they said, we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. By the way, that's a pretty good motivation to get up and go check some things out. Because if we just go sit here, we're going to die. It's better we go in there and die than die here. Because either way, we're probably going to die. But that motivation they had was selfish. They were thinking about their own gut. They were selfish because they said, if we sit here, we're going to die. So let's go over and get some food for us. But I want you to look at the second motivation. The second motivation is, if we don't do something, they're going to die. And that's what motivated them. And they said, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings. Can I tell you, when you got saved, that was a day of good tidings.
Amen.
You found a wealth that was beyond anything you could ever imagine. You became not only an heir, but a joint heir with Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, we're rich. And we found a gold mine, amen, when we came to Jesus. And that's what we have. And we don't want to go tell somebody else. Somebody said one time, it's like one beggar tell another beggar where to get bread. But let me tell you, we found the good tidings. And when we don't go tell somebody else where they'd have it too, We do not well. Amen. It was motivated by that fact that we're going to die. That's selfish. But let me tell you what, they're going to die. And if a missionary doesn't get to the field, those folks who've never heard are going to die. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you believe that? You really believe if nobody ever tells them that God would send them to hell? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, if they don't hear, they can't be saved. They must hear the gospel, amen, to be saved. And it's not God's fault. It's the church's fault. When we sit here on our laurels and think more about what we need to do, which is selfish, than what needs to be done for them. If you're saved, then go tell them, amen. That's why you go on your bus routes. That's why you have your Sunday school classes. That's why the missionary needs to get to the field, amen. They're motivated by the fact they had been delivered and given so much. Psalms 2, verse 8 says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. And Bob Hughes read that verse, and he said, you know, who wants the heathen? He said, I want the heathen. Nobody seems to want the heathen today. We want all the clean ones that's cleaned up. Folks, I mean, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Amen. As I said the other night when I looked on that street and I saw that long-haired hippie boy like probably used to look like. Amen. That skateboard crowd where they don't know where they're going to, where they've been. Amen. And I thought, isn't that a shame? And the Holy Spirit said, that's why you're here. Boy, you're talking about getting smoked. I thought I was a spiritual preacher. The Holy Spirit of God, he said, that's why you're here. Let me ask you, why are we here? Are we here to look pretty? And I'm trying to challenge our church. I'm saying, God's given us 14 acres and all this. It's not for somebody to walk by and say, oh, what a beautiful building you have. Oh, what a, it's not that. There's got to be a purpose somewhere that God wants to use that, even in a small town. I'm praying, God, is it a widow's ministry? What is it? Because it's not just to look pretty. It's not a beauty contest. Right. It's a battlefield. Right. And we're to use it for the honor and glory of God. And what honors and glorifies God is to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. Amen. You say, well, we don't see the great results. It's not about us seeing great results. Right. It's about us getting the seed out of the barn, as Haggai said. And we need to be motivated by that fact that folks are dying and they're going to go to hell. Amen. Yep. Let me ask you a question. Is it well tonight with your salvation? Are you saved? I'm not going to sit here and think, you know, everybody, you know, is saved. And I'm not the judge, you know. But I know what God did in our church one time when my wife was saved. She'd been a pastor's wife for 16 years. And she was a good pastor's wife. The organist got saved. And the pianist got saved. Missionary sons got saved. I'm not talking about folks just out there in the gutter. I'm talking about folks who's in church. And I think if we're not careful, we filled our churches up. One of the hardest mission fields probably is the church.
Right.
We have put unrepentant sinners in their baptistry and cleaned them up.
Yep.
And that may be why the motivation is not there.
Right.
I'm still praying for my associate pastor to get saved. But can I tell you what? He has been saved since he's been with us. Even after working 21 years in an independent Baptist church, his wife's got saved. He said, what are y'all preaching, a different salvation? No, it's a Bible salvation.
Right.
Finally realized, hey, it's not a religious thing.
Right.
Amen? And I'm never going to take it for granted that you're sitting here cleaned up and looking good, got a King James Bible in your hand, that you're saved.
Right.
The Holy Spirit of God knows. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God can work in your heart. Amen. And it may be the motivation is not there because is it well with your soul? I hope so tonight. I hope that you know that you know that you know. And by the way, I've never doubted my salvation. It's not my salvation, it's his salvation. I'm kept by God because I base my salvation on the word of God. Everlasting, eternal, never perish. It's in God's hands, amen. Is it well with your separation tonight? You know, before God can use us, we need to separate.
That's right.
Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He wants to be a father to us. Is it well with your separation? Is it well with your service tonight? When Paul got saved, he said, Lord, what will they have me to do? You know, I'm afraid a lot of folks, they want to get saved. They're going to heaven now. They're going to live their life the way they want to. No, God has a purpose. God has a mission field for every one of us. Mine just seems to be in East Texas. Amen? And that's where God put us. And we're happy to be there. Just obey God. I don't know where God's mission, but God has a mission field for you. And by the way, if you're not going to serve God here, don't worry about going there. If you're not going to do it here, you won't do it there. Maybe the bus route right now. God's training you and preparing you for what He has prepared for you. Is it well with your soul winning? You know, God didn't say, you know, you got to go out and have 100 saved and brought down the aisle. God does say you got to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. You plant enough seed, it's going to fall on some good ground somewhere. Is it well? And sometimes we get discouraged. Let me tell you what we need to motivate the fact it's not us. It's Jesus that saves. Let me ask you here in the mission conference, is it well when it comes to sending missionaries around the world? Is it well? What's it going to be like when you vote this week? When you took that card, and did you really pray about it? Amen. It's called faith promise. And there's a lot of things you can do. You can budget, like you do your house payment, car payment, all that. But if you've got it in your hand, you put it in, is it really faith? It's listening to God and obeying God and what God says. Amen? And I think sometimes we relegate. I don't know if there's any wrong way to give, but the one giving that God does bless above all of the givings is faith. That widow of Zarephath, I love that story. Amen? She was going to eat all the little things she had, her and her son, and they were going to eat that last meal and die, and Elijah said, make me first a little cake and all that. And that wasn't being selfish. That came from God. And she did what He said to do. Do you understand that meal barrel never, all through the famine, never ran out? Let me tell you what about faith. That little woman said, widow woman, I'll do it. And they all ate from that as long as there was a famine right there. There's some faith promise right there, amen. We have a lady in our church, and she's not there now. She's in heaven. She's a grandmother of my secretary, and she was in intensive care unit the night that her granddaughter, she wanted to see her hear if her granddaughter graduated from her Christian school, and she asked God to let her live just long enough. And when Mary graduated that night on the way to the hospital in Nacogdoches, she went out into glory. Her grandmother went into glory. She lived long enough. Know that her granddaughter graduated. I'm going to just tell that woman of faith, her husband, she and her husband started their bus ministry. And he ran one of those septic trucks to clean out septic, you know, that stuff, tanks. And he died. She was left. Now, she had children, but she was the type of woman. There's another incident when it came to, they came to a Sunday before he died. They had their faith promised, but they didn't have any food. And their discussion was, well, do we give our faith promise, or do we go buy food? Their decision was, we're going to give our faith promise. And so they gave their faith promise that Sunday and went home. And just by coincidence, knock on the door, there's somebody out there that had a box full of groceries. Said, the Lord laid on my heart to bring these groceries by. Now, isn't that a coincidence? They honored God with their faith. And let me tell you what. When you live by faith, you're putting God on the spot. God obligates Himself, amen. But when that man died, her income was gone. What they gave every week, their tithe, their missions, you know what? She kept on giving it. Of course, she was honored by her children. They took the business. They made sure that Mama had some money. But she could have said, my husband's dead. His job's over with, but she honored God with a faith promise. I've had missionaries in our church that they had secular jobs, and whenever they went full time, whether it was Rock of Ages or whatever it was, you know what? They kept on giving their faith promise that they had committed, amen? And God blessed them. God honored that. You say, well, I can't afford to. I can't afford not to. If we make a promise to God, it's better never to vow a vow than to vow a vow and break it. It's a promise you make to God. And I know we get emotional, we get excited, but it ought not to be an emotion. It ought to be that still, small voice that God says, I want you to give $10 a week. And by the way, here's one way you can do this. By the way, everybody can do it. I mean, you just ought to put a little jar somewhere around your house and just put the coins in there. You'll be surprised how much money can come in from just putting the change. And just put on that jar, faith promise. And put the money in there and see what God will do. The one thing that God honors is faith. You can't be saved without it. We really can't live a Christian life without it. What motivates you? What motivated them was, first of all, was selfish. We're going to die. But what really motivated them was, we do not well. If we don't do something, they're going to die. You understand, first of all, they went and hid what they found? That's what we do, don't we? We hide our salvation. We don't let it out. We hide what God gives us. And by the way, everything God gives to you, it's not for you. He gives to you that it might go through you. And you need to ask God, well, Lord, why did I get this? God says, well, dummy, did you pray for a faith promise? There it is. You'd be surprised what God will do. Let me ask you, how big is your God? You say, I don't know. You better know, I serve a great God.
Amen.
And if God puts on your heart and God puts it on there, you better deliver the goods. Amen?
Amen.
Are you doing well tonight? Why sit we here till we die? Listen, the world's going to hell. God has blessed America with the richest nation on the face of the earth. I mean, we have more than we could ever use. And God's concerned not about how many clothes you got in the closet. He's concerned about souls dying and going to hell. And He wants every member of Parkside Baptist Church to be involved. Because if we don't do our part, there's going to be folks who are going to be burdened and others eased. Have you ever seen a city workers? Maybe they don't do it up here, but I have city workers, and there's six of them standing around watching one guy in the hole.
Yeah.
You know what we do? We walk by and say, isn't that a shame? Look at them guys sitting over there watching that one guy work. Let's bring that to the church house.
Yeah.
You'll find out sometime 10 or 20% of the people bearing the whole burden.
Right.
And it ought not to be that way.
Right.
What's it going to take to motivate you? Let me tell you what, in closing here, we need to look to Calvary, amen, and see what Jesus did for us. And I believe this, if we're thankful, we'll tell somebody else what He did for us. These lepers, just lepers, they found, and by the way, that's a picture of sin. And think what happened, we who were sinners got saved. My soul tapped into all the resources of God. And if we just sit here till we die, we're not doing well. It's time for Parkside Baptist Church, Central Baptist Church, to get up and do more, because that clock is ticking. Amen? It's clicking toward the end of the game. And one day, and we don't know when that day is, but it might be today. God may give us another year, but we know one thing, it's going to come to an end one day. And I hope that when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll say, well done. You obeyed me. Because you obeyed me, missionaries were able to go and proclaim the gospel. And folks got saved. Folks, we all need to be a part in that. Oh, you're doing well tonight. What's it going to take to motivate you this year to do more than you've ever done? You can trust God. You can trust God to do what He said He'll do. Can God trust you?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.